Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. As always, we're so glad that you're here and took the time to download our show. We're going to catch up with Ricky. She's back from Europe, and she's going to share her experiences firsthand of what it's like to be a Walt Disney World veteran and even a Disneyland veteran, and then head over to Disneyland Paris. So stand by for that. We'll talk about her travel, accommodations, experiences in the park. It's going to be a fun one. I can't wait to hear this one. But first, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Magic for Less Travel. Let's talk cruising here for just a second today on a Friday. You know, we're cruising into the weekend, and why not plan your next or very first Disney cruise? I'm telling you, there is nothing like a Disney cruise. They are amazing. They're going great places like Europe, the Caribbean, Alaska, and even some exotic sailings that, you know, don't happen year-round, but you can hop on those as well. Drop by themagicforless.com today. Click on that Disney Cruise Line tab at the top of the page. Check out all the great itineraries. And while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote, and an agent will get back to you right away to give you some availability and pricing. We can talk about, you know, which cruise might be right for your family, where you need to be on the, you know, in the ship, and maybe the best stateroom for you. I'm telling you, great food, awesome entertainment, and you're seeing beautiful places each and every day. And don't forget, you get up to a 5% onboard credit with every booking with the Magic for Less. It's free money right there in your account to spend during that cruise. So check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com. Again, thanks to everybody who continues to support the show using our Amazon affiliate link. We can't thank you enough. Each and every purchase does support the show. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra. Thank you so much for using our link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1477 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at The Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. And as we always do here on the show, every Friday we're kicking off the weekend a little early with some fun Disney talk. And today we're going to talk to an American podcaster in Disneyland Paris. We're going to talk about a great trip over to Europe. Ricky has been gone for the last couple weeks. We are so glad to have her back this week. Now, you know what? It's hard to get all three of us in the same place at the same time lately because Pam is now down at Walt Disney World this weekend at a social media influencer conference, which I think is so funny. I know. So she's going to have to learn how to do the duck lips, get in front of certain walls, and, you know, do all that kind of stuff that the 12-year-olds do when they're unboxing the toys on YouTube. So when you see her, give her a hard time about that. Now, follow her. She's at TMFLT Pam, and she's going to put up a lot of great stuff. But we have Ricky. She's star of the show anyway. So Ricky's joining us from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less. What's up, Ricky?
Oh, my gosh. It is so good to be back. I missed getting to do this. So I am so excited to be back and able to talk about my trip to London and Paris. Yes, I went across the pond. I see London. I see France. You all know the rest.
Did you see? Oh, maybe I finished the sentence there because I don't want to offend anybody. But yeah, I mean, that's how we think of Europe as a Missourian. I mean, that's basically it. It's the end of a riddle.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So I think it's going to be fun because I want to take a look at this from the perspective of somebody that is a huge Walt Disney World fan, been there many, many times. I want to really dive into the Disneyland Paris stuff. But before we get into that, you know, it's going to be the majority of the show. You live in Atlanta, so you're very lucky that you're in a very, you know, you're in probably the best place in the United States to be able to catch flights internationally with Hartfield down there. So how was it as far as planning in the logistics of getting from Atlanta to Europe? Because you didn't go to Paris. You ended up going to London, right?
I did. So the trip started because Brian and I had a conversation and he said, hey, I really want to run the Paris Marathon. And I said, you are taking your wife with you, right? And he said, I thought I'd have to talk you into it. And I said, you have met me, correct? I said, there's Disneyland Paris there. So that's how the whole thing got started. And when we were looking at flights, we were originally looking at doing like a 4 or 5 day trip to Paris. And the flights were just exceedingly expensive. So we were like, okay, let's kind of look at things. You know, London's not that far away, and the flights were actually relatively cheaper to London. So we're like, okay, well, let's add a few days. We didn't have to add that many days for vacation days. So we backed it up, and it ended up being like this 10-day extravaganza to both London and Paris. So that's kind of how the whole thing came about. Ironically enough, Brian didn't actually run the marathon that week.
Dang. And I was so hoping that, he was kind of like the punchline of my joke. He was going to have to wee-wee at mile 17, but it didn't come to it.
Not wee-wee at mile 17. So Brian actually got a little sick while we were there. He was kind of running. He said he was running a fever. I felt his head. I didn't feel anything. But he wasn't feeling like his best. And as those of you who run know, like, when you're not feeling your best and if you have to run 26 miles, it's probably not the best idea to do so. So he ended up bowing out of that, which is, ironic given that that was the whole reason we went over there in the first place.
sounds like it could be a verse to an Alanis Morissette song.
I know, right? Exactly. Definitely one of those. So, so we did. We ended up taking out of Hartsfield-Jackson. They do offer nonstop flights over to London. They also offer nonstop flights over to Paris, too. But we got the nonstop flight over to London, and we did a red eye, which I have quickly learned that red eyes are not Ricky's thing. I've done a couple of them now, and I am like this little old lady. I have a really bad back, actually. So, well, I did the best that I could to make myself comfortable. So I made sure that Brian and I just had seats for the two of us so that we can kind of spread out the best possible. I brought pillows for us. I brought blankets. I still didn't have like the best night's sleep. I was very fitful. My back kind of went numb. My legs went numb, that kind of thing, which is never really a fun thing to wake up and go, oh my gosh, true. My leg is...
is this my leg? It's like, I can't feel it. I don't know if it's mine or yours or what's going on.
Exactly. With this. Yeah. So I've quickly learned that red eyes are not my thing, but maybe when I'm in physical therapy for my back. So maybe like when I actually get better, maybe I can do the red eye thing. But if red eyes are your thing, if you can handle them, they are a great way to get over to Europe, because we left at like 9 o'clock at night after having a very stressful day that day because found out my cat needed ACL surgery, but that's beside the point. So I had that whole issue. But I was so spent that day. So we got on the plane at 9 o'clock at night and didn't land until like 11-ish the next day in London, which was perfect. I mean, that way we could sleep on the plane, get a semi-full night's rest, and then hit the ground running when we hit London, which is pretty much what we did. We didn't nap or anything like that. Once we landed, we were trying to acclimate to the time to the best of our abilities. So that was really when I was planning things, what I felt was the best way to do so, to acclimate ourselves back to the time of London, was to just kind of go full out. So.
And I know Pam was giving you advice by text message. I was in the group message, as we talked about on Wednesday. She's like, don't go to bed. Stay up as late as you can. And she was
good. Exactly. Because
Pam's done this many times. And let me ask you this. So did you guys fly into Heathrow?
We flew to Heathrow.
Okay, let me ask you this, because I think our audience is probably pretty evenly split. We got a lot of folks that travel internationally quite often. There's a lot of folks listening to us that do a ton of international travel, while I think there's a lot of us that are, in the United States and maybe have not, really flown internationally. So you're flying, for the first time into Europe, into Heathrow, again, never been there, never really gone internationally except for like cruises. What's that like? Because that just seems so exotic, like it seems so amazing race to land in Heathrow, like after a red eye. It just sounds like so cool.
So it really wasn't so bad. So the best tip that I have for anybody who has, like me, never been overseas, or even those of you who, are visit frequently, there is an app that I will tell you about that was my savior. I use this app so often. It's called the City Mapper. And what it does is it allows you to see the best way to get to the different locations that you are looking to get to around the city. It's not usable here in Atlanta, which is kind of unfortunate. But if you are in places like London or Paris, and because those places have such an extensive, tube or metro or bus schedules or things like that, this tool was so key in being able to get around. It tells you, when you actually open it up, it tells you the best way to get to the different places via things like walking, which, most of the time I was not doing that, or via, the tube or the bus or Uber or taxi or whatever. What was the cheap, how much it would cost you to get to where you were going, how long it would take you to get there, what the schedules were for the tube or the metro or the bus or whatever that you were taking. It was a godsend. And if it was not for this app, I would not have survived in either country. And I will tell you right now, you need to download the City Mapper app when visiting other countries, because it was amazing.
And that's why I'm glad we're doing the show, because everybody can learn a little something. Maybe you already have it, but I mean, this could help somebody out. So, I really want to spend time on Disneyland Paris, but quickly, give us like 5 minutes of London. I know it's kind of not fair to do, but we focus on Disney. But, I know right. You did some Harry Potter stuff. You're in this very exotic, city and country. I mean, I can't imagine how cool London had to have been.
Yeah, I mean, I took the tube for the very first time, which was so cool to get to do.
I've only been on the tube on the Disney Fantasy, so that's
yes,
that's my
no, extent. I've actually been in the tube, which was very cool. And I have some thoughts about the Metro, which I will get to, which is Paris's version of the subway. But the first thing we did, because I am a big Disney nerd, we went to the Disney store in London because. So I knew I had to go to the Disney store in London, and I picked up this adorable, you can see it here on video. It is the Mickey Mouse. It says London, Disney Store London on it. He's wearing his little hat and everything like that. He looks like he's out there protecting the Queen. Oh my gosh. He's so adorable. I had to go get one of those. We did a lot of things, we went to go to Buckingham Palace, which of course is where the Queen lives. She was there, and the way you know that the Queen is there is the flag was actually up and flying. So we did get to see, we didn't see the Queen, but we did get to see Buckingham Palace, at least the outside of it. We went to a couple of just great parks and things like that. We did the London Eye, which is their Ferris wheel. So, they have the Orlando Eye or whatever it's called today. It's Icon Orlando or whatever they changed the name to. So we did that, which was a great way to see the city. Unfortunately, Big Ben is still under refurbishment right now. So while I did get to see the clock tower and things like that, the actual tower was being worked on. So that was kind of a bummer, but I kind of knew that it was happening. I want to give a huge shout out, by the way, to all the listeners who told me and Brian to go to this chicken restaurant called Nando's. Oh my gosh, it was the best chicken. seriously, Brian and I keep talking about this chicken place. So for those of you who suggested Nando's, thank you so very much. We absolutely took your all advice. And so we went there and had dinner there. It was so fantastic. So that was just one thing. One thing that Brian and I were not super impressed with, though, was Westminster Abbey. And I feel like that's people are going to go, clutch their pearls. But for the two of us, I felt like it was really expensive to go into Westminster Abbey. We didn't get what we should have out of it, I don't feel like. Maybe it was because we were in a hurry or whatever, because we did have plans for that afternoon. But I felt like Westminster Abbey just was not worth it. So that's kind of a bummer. But the big thing that we did, the thing that I was super, super excited about and ended up getting tickets to, which were very hard to do, was the Harry Potter tour. It's actually the studio tour in London. Now what this is for Harry Potter fans, this is Mecca. I'm just saying right now. The Wizarding World of Harry Potter is amazing, and that's definitely awesome. There's nothing like it. But this is pretty darn close. So here in the studio tour, you get to see everything. You get to see props. You get to see costumes. You get to see set pieces that were used in the actual Harry Potter movies. You get to see animatronics that they've have built for this. I mean, literally every piece of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter is here. Got to have Butterbeer ice cream, which was awesome. Of course, I've had it in Orlando, but you know, it was very special to get to have here. Got to see some behind the scenes, like kind of things of what they did. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to spoil too much, but there are some animatronics that you wouldn't know were animatronics. I'm just gonna leave it at that. If you take the tour, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But one of the characters had some animatronic features sometimes. But the thing that was really cool was that they just literally that week opened up the Gringotts bank, which if you've been to Universal Diagon Alley, you know, you've been on the attraction.
I've seen it.
You go into the bank and it is beyond realistic. I mean, you know, it's so beautiful and ornate, and they actually took what they did basically over in Orlando and they built it without the attraction at the studio tour. And it had, like I said, literally just opened up that week. So that's why it was really hard to get tickets. Well, part of the reason why it was really hard to get tickets. And it is exactly what it is in Orlando. I mean, almost to a T. They did such a fantastic job of building the Gringotts section of this. I mean, it looks exactly like it did in the movies and like it does in Orlando. And it was just, it was so, so cool to get to experience this part of the tour. And I will say there's a part that's right after that you are not going to want to miss, and make sure that you have your camera ready. It is so cool what they've done. It involves the dragon, and that's all I'll say, because I don't want to give away too much about this for anybody who may go on the tour. But seriously, this tour, it was expensive because I had to buy it as a tour from a tour company. But I'm telling you, it was 100% worth the money I spent on it. The tour company originally gave us like 3 hours to do this tour. I wasn't even done with half of it in 3 hours. We actually spent about 5.5 to 6 hours on this tour. I ended up Ubering back to the hotel just because I was like, I've spent all this money for this. I'm going to enjoy it. So definitely worth the money if you're a Harry Potter fan. So that was really cool.
So, and you know, me and Harry Potter, you know, we're
I know, buds. I know.
And George says he's glad that you enjoyed his country. So I love George. And it sounds like you did really enjoy. Joanne has a question, because I know she's going on an ABD over to London and Paris very soon, 3 weeks. She wanted to know about the weather and like what to wear. She doesn't want to look like the typical tourist. So like, what advice do you have as far as, you know, being comfortable, not standing out as a tourist? What would you say to Joanne? 3 weeks, she's heading over.
Well, you're going to have a great time. Let me just tell you. So the weather when we were there was actually really cold. There was definitely a cold snap that happened while we were in both London and Paris. The temperatures while we were there were in the 50s for the most part as the high, which, you know, we live in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was, you know, close 70s and 80s while we were gone. And we're like, no. We missed the perfect weather. So, you know, that was kind of a bummer. Now, I think in 3 weeks, the weather in London and Paris is going to be a little bit warmer. It was rebounding right when we left too, which is the part that I was like, no. So I think 60s and 70s will be more what Joanne sees. The one thing that I kind of noticed about both London and Paris, but more specifically in Paris, is they don't really wear, you could tell tourists because the tourists were wearing jeans. They don't really wear blue jeans that much unless they're very stylized, you know, very trendy jeans in Paris.
You gotta wear like skinny jeans.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I noticed. Like,
I'll never go to Europe. Sorry.
Exactly. I know. Like, you can get away with not wearing jeans. It's just like, that was like one of the things that I really noticed, was they were very chic and very put together. And I mean, definitely not. It's not like we don't end up being chic or put together here in the States, but it was just, Mike's not, no. Your baseball jersey shirts would definitely not fit in in London and Paris. But other than that, I mean, you're going to be just fine. You're not going to look too much like a tourist. Plus you're on ABD, so you'll be with a tourist group anyway. So you'll stand out anyway.
the flag may sell you as a tourist. I'm just saying you're the best tourist because you're on Adventures by Disney. You're doing it exactly right. Exactly. It's going to be awesome. Yes. All right, so... Because I don't want to, you know, spend too much of the show on it. So, transportation to get to Paris, how do you get there? And then walk us through arrival. Because, I mean, obviously you've learned about Disneyland Paris forever, but I mean,
I have.
You're in an international park now. So tell us about that.
I have. Okay. So we were considering taking the Channel. If you want to take the Channel, make sure you book your tickets early because by the time we actually realized everything, it was very expensive to book the Channel. So make sure you do that. We actually ended up flying because it was about the same price. And I was like, well, I could take the Channel or I could fly over. And it was a much, much shorter flight. So I said, okay, we'll just fly. So the whole thing didn't end up being cheaper in the end, which I thought was funny. But at least I got to experience London. So that was good.
Just gotta do.
Exactly. The one thing I will say is that, and I really, really, really can't stress this enough, Paris's metro system is terrible, especially after coming from London, whose tube and bus system with the Oyster card. Oh, by the way, make sure if you go to London and you're taking transportation, get the Oyster card. It is basically this credit card type thing that you put money on, that you just tap in, tap out of all their buses, all their tubes, everything that you go on. This Oyster system is amazing. It works perfectly.
Can you also buy seafood with it?
No.
No. Okay. It sounds like you should be able to, but I'm just saying.
Paris, not so much. Paris has little bitty tickets that are, I mean, they're tiny and easily losable. And also, there are different. So there's the. There's different lines that you can go on. And in Metro Paris, there's the actual metro. And then there's the train part, which is outside of Paris to get you outside of like metropolitan Paris city. The problem was that, first of all, the first experience I had on the metro, I actually lost Brian, which was super scary because I am now in a foreign country where I don't speak the language. And my husband is going past me on a train and
no
he didn't
way.
Get off.
Are you kidding me? Shut up. Did you get, no. I hope you got video of that because that had to be awesome.
No, I did not get video and I was panicking and I was oh my God, there goes my husband. He's on the train with our luggage and I'm off the train and no one speaks English because it's France, which duh. But when you're trying to figure out where your husband has just gone and when he will come back, it's very difficult. That was super frustrating and I'm really surprised I did not cry very hard. I'm sitting here waiting. Thank goodness Sprint has a very good international plan because we were able to text. So if you're going international, sign up for Sprint because it didn't cost us anything to be able to text each other, which was great.
Or at least hold hands the whole time.
Oh my gosh, it was awful. Like, he just couldn't get off the train. There were so many people that were just packed in the doorway that he could not get off with our luggage.
I could just see Brian's big eyes like there goes Ricky.
It was one of my big eyes because I was like, oh my God. And like, I could not talk to anybody. Like nobody spoke English to tell me what was going on. So there was that panic. And then when we finally got to, so we were going to go to Disneyland Paris. This was my other like, super frustrating thing. We were staying at a Hyatt downtown for London or downtown Paris for part of our trip. And then we ended up going to a Hyatt that was by Charles de Gaulle Airport. What we didn't know was, again, we bought the tickets for basically in downtown, traveling downtown Paris. We didn't realize, and we realized we had to change trains. So we understood that, but to change trains, we didn't have to buy a different ticket because the train still uses those tickets for inside the perimeter. But when you get outside of things, that's when things change. And so we get to Disneyland Paris, and we didn't realize that the ticket, because you needed the ticket to get out of, you know, of the train station. And we didn't realize that we needed a different slash more expensive ticket to get out, because we had only used the one ticket to get through. And so we get to Disneyland Paris, and I slide the ticket through, and it says, no, you can't go through. And I was like, oh my God, like, what are we going to do? There was nobody to talk to. I mean, again, another situation where we went back down, the people only spoke French, so that, you know, and understandably so, but when you're at a place like Disneyland Paris and you're trying to get out and experience this park, this is not a very good way of your first experience there. There was no like information booth to talk to anybody of, hey, what do we do to get out or anything like this. The information booth was on the other side, which of course we couldn't get to because we were stuck on the train platform area. So that again was super frustrating. Come to find out, we ended up finding these guys who were super shady trying to sell us the tickets to get out. And I was just like, no, I'm not doing that. I'll figure out another way out. So we finally figured out another way out. So that was very frustrating. The metro system in Paris sucks. I did not enjoy it.
Bottom line. Yes. Sorry for all of our French listeners.
I'm so sorry. I had so much frustration with the metro. And you really don't know until you've done this. So like, I'm glad I can share this information with people, but like nobody in all the blogs and all the articles that I've read, because I did a lot of research about visiting Paris and visiting London and, you know, visiting Disneyland Paris, and none of the research explained this. So I really hope that I can help people who are going to Disneyland Paris understand how this whole thing works.
God, I wish it would have been a camera crew following you. This would have been epic. I mean, just this trip. Holy cow. This is just amazing. Okay. So we got to get to Disneyland Paris because
yes,
we're 25 minutes.
I
want to know about it. So, okay, the first thing I got to ask you was, I saw a picture of you, and I'm assuming that's the train station behind you, but it's massive. It looks like a gigantic hotel or something. Is that what that is? Is that the entrance to Disneyland Paris?
So that's the entrance to Disneyland Paris, but that's actually the Disneyland the
hotel. Okay.
So hotel is right there as you enter. So you actually go under the hotel, and then you go through, like, then you go through, and then you go under the train station there as well. And then that's how you get into Disneyland Paris. So yeah, it's really kind of interesting that the hotel is right there. And I know that there's been conversation about having, you know, a Epcot hotel right there in front of Epcot. So in my eyes, it would be very similar to that kind of situation. They have obviously a number of other hotels at Disneyland Paris, which is part of why Disneyland Paris tanked so badly when it opened. We didn't get to go to any of the hotels just because, you know, timing wise, it just didn't work out to get to experience those. But yeah, it's Disneyland Paris is different. I will definitely say, Disneyland Paris is different.
Well, when you arrived, what? Because you mean you've come up to Disneyland now. You've gone there. You've obviously been to World many times. Like, you have like in your mind's eye what you're expecting. You know. So when you get there, was it like, whoa, it's more than I was expecting, or it's weird, or it's less? I mean, what was like your first thought?
So definitely it's weird. You know, the castle is Sleeping Beauty Castle, but it's different than the Sleeping Beauty Castle that's at Disneyland. It's much more ornate, much bigger. Their Main Street is exactly like, you know, Main Street USA. I mean, it really is exactly like what we walk on. Now, the difference is, though, there are two like side streets that are actually covered that are walk along the sides of the main street, and you can choose to take those instead. We did that a lot of times in the evening as we were leaving because we did not care to see. I know I'm a terrible human being. I don't really care for fireworks shows, so I didn't care to see their illumination show, and I chose to leave the park. So we actually exited both times through the side streets, and they were the perfect way to exit. And it really makes me wish like we had that as an option at Walt Disney World in a way. I know they kind of built that one side street, but I feel like they just don't use it very frequently. And it was a really nice perk to be able to walk through and not have to worry about the crowd so much. It was definitely different walking in to Disneyland Paris. They don't have all the lands that we have, obviously. They only have four of them. So it's Adventureland, Frontierland, Fantasyland, and they have Discoveryland instead of Tomorrowland. It's definitely an interesting experience walking through. The one thing I will say is, you know, if you know the history of Disneyland Paris, obviously you know that the park kind of didn't do so well. It ran out of money, you know, that kind of thing. So the things that they have done that they did really well are super ornate. I mean, you can tell where they spent the money.
Like what? Because, like what examples would you have for that?
So, like the castle. I mean, it's so ornate. It's so gorgeous. They have the dragon that's an audio animatronic dragon that's underneath that castle, and it's fantastic. I mean, it is so realistic. If you didn't know that dragons didn't exist, like, this is the most realistic dragon. In Frontierland, it really does feel like a Western town. I mean, it, in the entryway, like, they have this, it's kind of like Tom Sawyer Island that you're walking through, and that they have this walkthrough track experience where you kind of wind your way through and experience, you know, basically back alleys and things like that of Frontierland. In Discoveryland, I mean, it is that Jules Verne experience of, you know, like what I really kind of wish that they would turn our Tomorrowland into, you know, that the golds and the greens and the kind of rust orange colors and the stuff like that. Like, it was like all the details were super finite. Main Street USA, the signage and everything, it was so realistic. You know, it just felt like they plussed every aspect of our lands. They really did pluss it and made it more ornate, more detailed. However, with that being said, there were parts that felt very bare as well to me. A lot of the pathways felt bare. The one thing that I really noticed that they did a lot at Disneyland Paris, you know, the actual park, they did a lot of walkthrough attractions. And I'm not sure if it's because they ran out of money, or, you know, this was pre-Fast Pass. So I'm not sure if, like, the team just thought, hey, you know what, we need something to do with all these people, so let's make these walkthrough attractions because that's something for them to do while they're, you know, waiting for the lines to go down or, you know, whatever. But they have, you know, they did have the Frontierland walkthrough attraction. They had a 20,000 Leagues walkthrough attraction. They had a Aladdin walkthrough attraction. Oh, they had this one area that looked like Agrabah. I mean, actually looked like Agrabah, like you were going into Aladdin. I mean, it was so crazy. They had this Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse, which was obviously the walkthrough attraction. And I can see where they got the idea behind the Tree of Life, because the tree just sits up there. And I mean, it looks like the Tree of Life, just a little bit smaller and a little bit different. There was the Alice in Wonderland labyrinth walkthrough, where you go through these hedge mazes, and, you know, you see characters and things like that from Alice in Wonderland. So they were really big on the walkthrough attraction. And again, I just don't know if it was like they ran out of the money or they did it for other reasons, but those things also made the park feel a little bare too, if that kind of makes sense.
So let me ask you this, because Tara's got a question in the chat, which I was going to ask as well. So as somebody who does not speak the language, not very comfortable at all with French, I mean, you know,
right. No.
So how is it, you know, I know that they have some English, but I mean, were attractions exclusively in French or were they in English? I mean, how does that work as an American?
Yeah, so I mean, for the most part, the attractions were in French. There were pieces that were in English, like, for example, on Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, the attraction was mostly in French, but they did, you know, the song was partially in English. So, you know, there were pieces of that. They have Snow White's Scary Adventure, which definitely was more ornate than our Snow White's Scary Adventure. I mean, the scenes were... Okay, so you remember how they changed ours to make it a little less scary? Mm-hmm. This was a scary version. I mean, hands down, like, this was the scary version. The witch was after you throughout the whole entire thing. Like, this was the scary version of it. That was all in French. They had Peter Pan, or I didn't do Peter Pan because the line was, you know, ridiculously long for Peter Pan, but they have Pinocchio there, which was also in French. And I've done Pinocchio at Disneyland. So, you know, I had an idea of what to, you know, expect, but yes, that was all in French. But of course there were some attractions that weren't in, like, didn't need to have like dialogue. So like that, those things were, you know, easy to understand and things like that. Obviously like Big Thunder Mountain, you know, that, and that, so the attractions overall, I feel like the attractions themselves for the most part are actually better at Disneyland Paris. Like if you take the attraction by itself and look at the pieces of the attraction, they are much better. Big Thunder Mountain, hands down, my favorite version of Big Thunder Mountain I've ever been on in my entire life. So what they do is the actual attraction is on an island, and you have to go under the water, and you don't realize that you're going under the water because it's all dark, it's all in this tunnel, but you do go under the water before you get to the island, and then you go around the island, and they have the end scene that they have at Disneyland where it's the dynamite and it shoots off and there's the explosion that I really wish that we'd get in Walt Disney World's version. Like I wish so very desperately we'd get that. So I feel like that's a much better version of Big Thunder. Pirates, oh my goodness. Pirates is so much better at Disneyland Paris. Like I enjoyed it so much. There are scenes in there. So they kind of took the idea of like the Blue Bayou. So you do float by a restaurant called Captain Jack's. But there are some scenes in there that are so spectacular that are before... you actually start on the attraction like we do in Walt Disney World. And they are so well done. I very, very much, I enjoyed the queue of their pirates better too. You kind of go through this outside town, you know, how you do like the outside dark, you know, overhead. That was so cool. I very, very much enjoyed their attraction of pirates. I enjoyed their, it's a small world better actually. I feel like they had more audio animatronics, you know, more ethnicities were featured in this version of It's a Small World. I really very much thought that that was a better version. Doesn't have the characters like Disneyland's version has, but that overall was better. They did have Hyperspace Mountain instead of Space Mountain. I haven't been at the one at Disneyland. This was the one where I think actually our Space Mountain is better at Walt Disney World. It does have some upside down parts to it at Disneyland Paris. But I feel like, so because they told the Hyperspace Mountain story, they had screens up, and I don't know if those screens were used before in their Space Mountain, but it really kind of took me out of the story because like I could see the screen, you know, like I could see that it was a screen. So like that, you know, the glowing part of it. So like, I didn't enjoy that very much. But Brian actually liked their Space Mountain. That was in French too. So that was a little difficult to understand because I was like, I kind of get the gist of what's going on here, but I'm not 100% sure. So that was a little difficult, but yeah, most of the attractions, I mean, they are in French, but you can kind of get the gist of things. So
that's awesome. So Lori's got another question here in the chat too. And you know, I love this. So many people are actually going over to Disneyland Paris soon. It's more than I was expecting.
It's awesome.
So really cool. She's asking, is it a one day park or is it, you know, multiple day park? Cause I know you have a studios park as well, right?
Correct. Which,
yeah.
Okay. So what we did is we actually did, 2 days. I will be perfectly honest with you. If you get there at Rope Drop, and go to the Studios Park, half day is really all you need. Not gonna lie. I mean, it really was a half day park. And we did almost everything, at that park. And we even had an hour, almost 2 hour long lunch at Chez Remy. Which is the restaurant right outside of the Ratatouille attraction that they have, which I'll be happy to talk about here because I know we're getting that. So we did basically a half a day, got almost everything done at that park. And then we did a full day in Disneyland Paris proper, and then we park, and then we did another half day. So after we left the Studios Park, we went back over to Disneyland Paris Park and did that. So, and that was actually enough. I mean, really, I was thinking I would need a third day, but we got almost everything done that we wanted to for the most part. I mean, there were a few things that we could have done that we didn't do, but I thought 2 days was actually kind of perfect. 3 days, I think, would be the max that you could spend over there.
So Jacqueline's got a great story here in the chat. She's watching along. She says she went to Disneyland Paris in high school, and she was excited to practice her French. When she got up to the food stand, she proudly said, now I don't know how to read this, but J'ai vendu les cheeseburgers, c'est-tu plaid. I don't know, whatever that means. And she said, and the cast member replied in plain English, would you like fries with that? She said, guess my French wasn't too great. So, yeah. I mean, that's a great story. But Matthew, who's actually headed to Disneyland Paris himself in August, asked about, and I mean, this is kind of the thing at Walt Disney World now, and especially Disneyland. Like, is there a go-to snack? I mean, like, of course, we got all these Instagrammable things to snack on at World. Is it the same way over there or no?
So I don't think it is. I didn't really see like the must-have snack over there. You know, the only things that I wanted to try was actually for, it was in the Disneyland, the Walt Disney Studios park. And that was, they are actually doing a Marvel experience right now. They're doing some special shows and things like that. It's like the season of Marvel, I think is what it's called, that they're doing. And I did see that they had some special snacks for that, which we did try. They had a all chocolate, like it was like a chocolate bar of the awesome mixtape. They had a Groot, it was like a cookie thing that was really good that was filled with caramel. And that was excellent. And the thing that I thought was really good was they had a macaroon. Oh no, I said it wrong. I'll always say it wrong. I know one is the one thing and one is the other, but they had one, a macaron, I think is the one that they have it. It had like a stamp of like Captain America's shield on it. That was actually really good. I very much enjoyed that. So, you know, but there really aren't like many snacks that I saw that like were super, like I had to have, which was kind of disappointing to me. You know, I did see there was a crepe, a stand that sold crepes in Disneyland Paris Park. I think it was the Old Mill, which is kind of a awesome name for it to have, given that that was the name of, you know, one of the shorts that Disney did. But they had crepes, and that line was super long. So if you want a crepe, get in line for that. They do have them there, which is obviously one of the things that's special for Disneyland Paris. So.
And we're getting crepes in Epcot.
I know we are. I'm so excited. I had the most amazing crepe along the river in Paris. So if that's what this tastes like, I'm really excited about it.
Nice. All right, so we're down to 10 minutes, and I got to ask hit snacks, but dining, how hard is it to be, you know, is it all like snails and all that junk? No. Or I mean, what'd you eat? Like what's there to eat besides snacks in the park?
So I will say, and I don't know if it was the restaurant that we went to or what, but Disneyland Paris definitely has a counter service problem. Their food's just not great at the counter service locations. In addition, the setup is not great, especially the restaurant that we went to. I forget the name of the place that we went. It was in Frontierland. It was Mexican. And so the problem was that they weaved you in and out instead of, you know, how we have the stalls that you go to at Walt Disney World. You'd think they would have learned that the stalls work, because this was literally a line that wrapped through, and then you went to whichever one was open, you know, whichever cashier was open. It did not work. We waited at least a half an hour to order our food, and that was awful. That was terrible, like a terrible experience. We were hungry, we were starving, you know, we were cranky, and we just wanted food at that point. The food was good that we ate, all things considered. I don't know if it was at all like that way at all the other restaurants, but that one was terrible. But Brian really wanted the food there because it smelled really good.
Nice.
And like we were waiting in line, and we've been in line for like 20 minutes, and he's like, I'm sorry I got in this line. So, you know, like it was one of those things.
Well, I mean, you're committed at that point, you know.
I know, we were exactly, yeah. We were totally committed. The other place that we ended up eating was, we did go to Chez Remy, and that was over in the Studios Park. That was excellent. So what they did there is they do basically prefix meals. So you have to choose your basically an appetizer, an entree, and dessert. That And there are two different prices depending on, you know, which meal choice you choose. So if you get the fancier meal, it costs a little more. If you get the other meal, it costs a little less. We had a carrot soup, which was excellent. Very, very good. I had a fish, which was also very good. It's served with ratatouille, of course, because you would expect that, right? And then it was served with dessert, and I had a tiramisu. The restaurant is so adorable because it's got all the oversized things, like you're the size of a rat while you're eating there. So, it's got the oversized tables, it's got the oversized plates. I mean, you know, that are decorations and things like that. Like, it's got, an umbrella, like the tiki umbrella in one of the tables, you know, that was next to us. The chairs feature like bottle caps as the backs of them. But one of the cool things was we actually got seated so by the window, which is the exit for the Ratatouille attraction. So that was really cool because we got to see everybody leaving the attraction, which was really neat. That food was excellent, though. We really enjoyed our meal at Chez Remy and very much think that that's a good stop for people to go to.
All right. So the final question for this, and we'll talk about this over the coming weeks, you know, here and there, because there's so much more to share. But you did Ratatouille, right?
I absolutely did Ratatouille. I did it twice.
We're getting close to that here at Epcot, which I'm super excited about. You know, it's getting closer and closer. So, thoughts 1 to 10. What'd you think?
I loved it. It is going to be a fantastic addition to Epcot. So the attraction basically granted, it was in French, so I don't know 100% what is happening. I mean, I have a general idea based off of like what I'm seeing, but so the attraction, if you've been on Spider-Man at Universal Islands of Adventure, it's very similar in idea behind that. So it weaves you through the story. It's much gentler, though. I mean, it's not nearly as rough. But you go through the story and you are trying to follow Remy as he's, you know, in the kitchen of the restaurant. And of course, as things happen at Disney, something goes wrong. You know, the guy finds Remy and tries to chase after him and things like that. So if you've seen Ratatouille, it kind of goes along the lines of the movie a little bit. It was really, really cool, though. They had all, like I said, it was kind of like Spider-Man in that, like, there's physical set pieces and then there's the screens. It is a 3D attraction. I'm going to assume it will still be 3D when we get it. There are some smells in there that are really cool. There's one smell that really stands out to me, and it's actually a smell of bread, which I thought was really, really unique. I really liked that. And I hope that makes its way over to ours. And I really like the attraction. Like I said, it's going to be a fantastic addition to Epcot. And I am very curious to actually see what happened like in the attraction when it's in English.
You're like, so, I was laughing at that and they're just making fun of Americans.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, it's really cool. And a couple of other highlights from Disney Studios Park, just to talk about those real quick, is they do have Rock and Roller Coaster. It's a little bit different than ours. Their pre-show is like that. I mean, it's like, it's not the same. It's like 30 seconds long. And I was like, this is it. But the ride is actually really cool. They still have right now their backlot tour. So I got to ride the backlot tour again. Nice. Now, granted, it's in English and in French. So like Jeremy Irons is the English version of it. And
sweet.
It's totally dated. Yeah, it's really dated. And it's definitely going. But really the whole point of the attraction is to go to Catastrophe Canyon. And then that's kind of it. I mean, that's kind of the whole point. Crush's coaster is cute, but it's really just a Wild Mouse coaster. I didn't think it was as outstanding as everybody else seems to think it is. I thought the first half of it was really cool, but then, you know, it really just turns into a coaster in the dark inside a Wild Mouse coaster. So I thought it was just okay. And really, like, that's kind of it. That's kind of all they have at the Studios Park. They do have a Toy Story Land. It is not like our Toy Story Land. It is definitely off-the-shelf rides. And they are very slow loaders. So if you want to experience any of those attractions, do those kind of first, because it will take forever. So our Toy Story Land is heads and tails better than theirs. So even without the shade.
So as we wrap this up, I mean, it sounds like you had a really good time. I mean, it was fun to explore something that was brand new to you, which is always exciting because, you know, we've seen the other things a lot. But you still, I guess you would still rate World in Disneyland and then Disneyland Paris behind it, right?
Definitely. Yeah. I, you know, eventually someday I would like to go to, you know, Tokyo and experience those parks. It might be a while as of right now, like, because one thing that I'm worried about is the thing that I got a lot while I was in France was language fatigue because of the fact that I don't speak French. And it was so difficult to try to communicate. Like, it really was very difficult. So I'm curious to see how that would be going over to Japan, because obviously I don't speak Japanese. So like, I'm wondering if that would affect me at all as hard as it did in France. So if anybody's been to Tokyo and you know, has experienced those parks, let me know, because that's like definitely one of the things that is on my bucket list, but I'm still a little concerned about now that I've been to one of the parks where they don't speak English.
Ricky Niblett, international podcaster of mystery.
I know, right?
I love it. Thanks so much.
Yeah, baby.
Exactly. Well, hey, we missed you here, but I'm glad you had a good trip over there, Brian, as well, and you guys got back together. It's a good thing you didn't lose each other. And that'd have been.
After that, I was like, you stay here.
That'd have been one heck of a romantic comedy, you know, if you'd not hooked up. So, yeah, and George says you just hire Messiah when you go to
That's
Tokyo,
right.
So.
That's a good call.
That is perfect. I love Messiah. I miss her. All right. Well, hey, we're going to wrap this one. But, yeah, I think this is a great introduction for people going over. And, of course, people can reach out to you, right, if they have questions about Paris.
Absolutely. Feel free to reach out. We did lots of things in Paris, too. Did the Eiffel Tower. Did Musée d'Orsay. Did a ton of things there, too. So I definitely have some tips and things like that. Also, make sure you're following along on the Be Our Guest podcast Instagram. I've been posting pictures all week of my trip to Disneyland Paris. I kind of wanted to settle down and really kind of digest everything and then start sharing the pictures. So so those are going to be up, or those are already up on the Instagram feed too. So you can kind of see what the park is like.
All righty. Well, don't forget, today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time to head to your next Disney destination, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Universal, or even Disney Cruise Line, can't wait. You know, hey, drop by the magicforless.com. Check out all the great specials on the page. If you're going on a cruise, you know, we talked about that at the top of the show. They got all the itineraries listed right there under Disney Cruise Line, all the specials for Walt Disney World, Disneyland as well. They book Universal. Just drop by, check out all the information. While you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form, and an agent will get back to you right away. Costs you nothing extra. They're always hunting those discounts for you and are going to make sure that you have an awesome time. So check them out today. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. As always, they're over at themagicforless.com. When you do some online shopping this weekend, thank you so much to everybody who uses our Amazon affiliate link. And if you never have, please, please do use the link. It helps support the show. We thank you so much for that. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Pod and at Be Our Guest Mike. And give Pam a follow down at Walt Disney World this weekend. She's at TMFLT Pam. So check her out as well. Also, we got a great Facebook page, facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast, and a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere. Oh my gosh. Wow. Mike, you and I have been together way too long.
Too long. And if you don't mind this weekend, iTunes ratings and reviews, we sure appreciate that. Thank you so much to everybody who's done that. And if you could do that this weekend, we thank you in advance. All right. We're going to get out of here and let you get on with your weekend. Thank you so much for being a part of the Be Our Guest Podcast family. We love having you out there and taking the time to listen to our shows. And we're always going to keep doing these for you. We love it. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.